Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the fifth Sunday in Easter, 2008. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. As the number of disciples continued to grow, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So the 12 called together the community of disciples and said, "It is not right for us to neglect the word of God to serve at table. Brothers, select from among you 7 reputable men filled with the Spirit and wisdom, whom we shall appoint to this task, whereas we shall devote ourselves to prayer and ministry of the word." The proposal was acceptable to the whole community. So they chose Stephen, a man filled with faith in the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. The word of God continued to spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly. Even a large group of priests were becoming obedient to the faith. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you.
Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you.
Exalt, you just in the Lord. Praise from the upright is fitting. Give thanks to the Lord on the harp. With a 10-string lyre, chant his praises.
Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you.
Upright is the word of the Lord, and all his works are trustworthy. He loves justice and right. Of the kindness of the Lord, the earth is full.
Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you.
See, the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him, upon those who hope for his kindness, to deliver them from death and preserve them in spite of famine.
Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. A reading from the first letter of Peter. Beloved, come to him, a living stone rejected by human beings, but chosen and precious in the sight of God. And like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it says in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying a stone in Zion, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in it shall not be put to shame." Therefore, its value is for you who have faith. But for those without faith, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that will make people stumble, and a rock that will make them fall. They stumble by disobeying the word, as is their destiny. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own, so that you may announce the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How could we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and still you do not know me, Philip? Whoever sees me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, Whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian, and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everybody.
And we're here, of course, to discuss these readings. Dawn, did you have any thoughts about any of the readings, or did anything strike you?
Well, initially, when I read the first reading, I thought of you, Brian, because it's the development of the diaconate, and I know in a very few weeks you'll be joining that group. Could you talk a little bit about what the diaconate is and how it relates and all that
stuff? Sure, that's actually a good place to start, I think. Yeah, I'm actually getting a little excited now because it's coming closer and closer, and it's like I'm finally be able to see a light at the end of this tunnel that's been a long process of formation. But yeah, you're right, this first reading is the institution of the diaconate, and deacons were ordained basically in the early church to assist the priests and the bishops carrying out their ministry. And of course, that's what we have going on here. This is the first seven. Interestingly enough, in our diocese this year, there's going to be seven deacons ordained this year too.
Oh my goodness.
It's very scriptural. Of course, I don't recognize any of the names as being names of the guys that are going to be ordained.
No, Stevens. That's good. I don't think I'd want to be a Stephen and ordained.
or a Parmenas or something like that. But anyways, the deacons in our church today are ordained specifically, you know, to help out at table. They're called the servants at table, or the altar, as we would call it in the liturgy. But also another interesting thing is from the scripture passage, you see that the deacons are put in charge kind of the social service ministry. And that's actually what the role of a deacon is in our church as well, is to be concerned about the injustices in the world and the poverty and things. What happened at this time is the 12 apostles, of course, were gathered together, and people were coming and saying, you know, you're neglecting the widows and all these other things going on. And the apostles were kind of torn between their ministry, preaching the word, and, of course, celebrating the Eucharist. And it wasn't like the church is set up now where there were numerous priests, and they're traveling all over to different churches, really, in different cities, which would be like going between dioceses for us. So, and of course, they didn't have, you know, United or any other modern means of transportation either. So it was they're gone for 6 months, a year at a time. And the communities were realizing that we need more people involved. And we didn't need more people necessarily for the preaching, but we're neglecting our poor. So, of course, the apostles in this story here, they're laying on of hands, and that's what we call the matter of the sacrament of ordination. Every sacrament, I've mentioned this before in the podcast, but as a refresher for people, has something called the matter and the form. The matter is the physical, tangible stuff, because we're bodily beings, so Christ reaches us through bodily signs. And then, of course, the words, which are the form, so there's words that go along with it. And here you see the apostles laying their hands on these seven men who they're appointing basically to put in charge of assisting the community, of helping out with, you know, largely the social service stuff. But they also would help out at ministry, most notably at baptisms. And in the earliest church, we had deaconesses as well, and they would help out with the baptism of women, largely because at that time, baptism was done in the nude, so as a way of being proper and everything. So that's kind of the origin of it all.
Now, you're being ordained to the transitional diaconate versus the other six people being ordained with you. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, the transitional diaconate is for people who are going to be deacons. The idea is you're going to be a deacon for a temporary amount of time before you'll be ordained into the priesthood. Actually, I said that wrong, because technically you are a deacon for life when you're ordained. But the idea is that you're going to be moving on to the role of priest through the process. There are other people who are permanent deacons, and St. Mary's has Deacon Claude, of course, who's a permanent deacon. And the permanent deacons are people who their vocation is to the diaconate primarily, and so they will not become priests later on. And interestingly enough, I don't know how many of our listeners would know this, transitional deacons cannot, of course, be married. But permanent deacons can be married. So we do ordain married men to the permanent diaconate.
What would happen if one of their wives passed away?
If one of their wives passed away, they are unable to remarry. So that is one of the things with the permanent diaconate. Same thing, of course, you know, with transitional deacons, we can never marry. Your sense then is that your primary ministry would be to the church, but you wouldn't be allowed to remarry.
And maybe just really quickly about, some people are confused between the difference between a priest and a deacon. What are some of the things that are unique to maybe priesthood?
Okay. Well, the priest, one of the big things is we say that they can act in persona Christi, which means in the person of Christ. So they can fulfill the role of Christ in a limited sense, of course, that we don't say they are Christ, but they can fulfill the role of him by most notably forgiving sins and, of course, consecrating the Eucharist. So they have a little more sacramental responsibility. Their job also isn't so much the social service aspect of the church, but they are the primary minister of the sacrament of the Eucharist, of the altar, as we call it sometimes, whereas the deacon is said to assist at the table. The priest is the one who offers the sacrifice and really is that mediator between God and the community of believers. So that's the priest's primary job, is to be that mediator. And the primary way they do that is through preaching the word, because that's the first way we come to know God, as we hear about him in some way. And so all the documents will say that the primary responsibility of a priest is to be somebody who's a preacher, who's preaching the word. And that can happen in many different ways, of course. One of the most famous quotes about preaching comes from St. Francis of Assisi, and he says, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." So the preaching isn't just the verbal preaching like we're doing here on this podcast, but it's also the witness and the way we live our lives.
Very interesting. There's just a lot to this that people don't realize, I think.
Yes. Well, not to make this whole podcast about me.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to do that. But there's also some interesting stuff in our gospel that we have today, too, believe it. I know we spent a lot of time on that first reading, and yeah, it is near and dear to me as it's coming up for me.
Right. Well,
and hopefully some
and
of the people
for us to learn about. Yeah.
And hopefully some of the people at St. Mary's will be able to make it to the ordination, or if not that, to the first mass that I'll be deaconing on June 1st. So it's a little plug.
And your ordination is
May 31st out at the cathedral.
May 31st. All right. It's on my calendar. I'll be there.
Okay. One of the things, though, that I did like from this second, or the sorry, not the second, the gospel, is the idea of Christ preparing a place for us. Because I think a lot of times we don't always get that. We have this personal relationship with God or with Jesus. We think of heaven a lot of times as in kind of an abstract terms, but we're actually going to have like our own little room in heaven, so to speak. You know, God's got a special place for each and every one of us. And I think that's a real powerful image that really struck me when I read the gospel for today, that, you know, and Jesus says, "And I wouldn't say this to you if I didn't mean it too," you know? So I really liked that when I heard that.
Yeah. And this is oftentimes at funerals, the gospel passage that is used. One of the things I was reading suggested that you think not only as in the capacity of a physical place or a place to dwelling place, but Jesus is talking about that he's the way. And so, I just lost my, it's just what you were saying, that he's the way, it's the relationship is what he's talking about, this dwelling place. And here on earth, that's sometimes a comfort because we're lost in the sea of confusion and everything that's going around, away around us. And so to remember that Jesus says, "I am the Father and the Father is in me." And that's the way we can have this dwelling place in our very lives.
Mm-hmm. And you also have to put yourself in a more of a biblical mindset too, where the Son and the Father are they're equals in a sense. You know, what belongs to the Father belongs to the Son. So when he's preparing us a house or a place in his Father's house, it's not, sometimes, you know, I wouldn't go and prepare all my friends a place in my parents' house without, you know, getting a lot of permission. And I don't kind of have that authority necessarily. Mm. But Jesus does have that kind of an authority where the house isn't really just the Father's house, but because it belongs to the Father, it also belongs to the Son. And it's not in the case where adult children get up and leave and then have to ask permission to come back or something like that. No, this is Jesus's house as well. Another thing that also struck me in this, Dawn, I don't know if you caught this, so there's a line, it says, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." And it's interesting there. I mean, it's kind of what you were saying there too, that just show us the Father. And the interesting thing is Jesus really is God. So to see the Father is to see the Son, is to see the Father, because they're so one with each other. And that's kind of going back to that point that I was saying, you know, it's not like they're two separate people where Jesus has to check with the Father before he prepares a room for us or something to that level. One of our professors here, he's always saying, you know, if you call on one of the Trinity, you call on all three. You don't just call on one. To call on one causes the other two to rise up. We can't think of them as three different people like, well, you know, I tried to talk to Jesus, but he wasn't in. Let me see if the Father's in. He's not there either. I'll check with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. No, it doesn't work like that. You know, they're all united in one. And that's Jesus's prayers, that we will be united just as the Father and he are united.
I was thinking about what it must have been like for these disciples with Jesus saying all this, you know, I'm the Father and the Father's in me. Thinking, what are you talking about? Well, I'm not going to question them.
Yeah. And that's the reaction they do all the time. I don't know, but don't ask questions.
That's right. And so what it must have been like, you know, after Jesus dies and is raised from the dead and then he ascends and they're trying to figure out all this. Now you're putting pieces together and it must have been, I think I have it hard in trying to figure things out. I can't imagine what it was like then.
But, you know, we're not meant to necessarily try to figure that part out.
Right.
What he's saying is, you know, you who have seen me know the Father. In other words, I am revealing the Father to you. But also, in other words, too, we also learn that this message that Jesus comes to preach in his whole ministry is a reflection of God and his love for us. And it's also what we're supposed to imitate then, because we're made in the image and likeness of God. That's from the book of Genesis. The first book in the gospel says, let us make man in our own image. And so we are made in that image of God. And so if we're really truly living out our humanity to its fullest, we'd be following the model that God has given us by becoming human in Jesus and showing us how to live, what it means to live as if you're made in the image and likeness of God.
Well, this has been a pretty heavy podcast this week.
Yes, and unfortunately, it looks like we are running out of time. So we'll wish everybody a good week, and hopefully they'll find ways to live out that Imago Dei, the image and likeness of God, and join us next week on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week, and God bless.